Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Picture a fork in the road where the road divides either to the left or to the right, and you have to take one road. You can't take them both. Which road do you choose? Well, it helps to know what's down each road, what each road looks like, and where it finally leads. In today's gospel, Jesus paints a picture of sorts of two roads, two paths. The road on the left is the road of service to mammon. We'll talk about mammon more in a moment. The road on the right is the path or the road of service to God. The roads are very different, and they end in very different places, and you can only take one of them. Obviously, it's the service of God that Jesus urges his disciples to follow, and he gives us many good reasons to follow it. First, let's look at the context. This is the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. It's early in Jesus' ministry, where he's teaching his disciples, his early disciples, with multitudes of people now finding out about him and learning from him. He's talking to Jews who already believe in the true God and who want to be instructed by Jesus. That's important to remember. He's not talking in the Sermon on the Mount to pagans, to atheists, but to church members. He's not trying to convert unbelievers here to the faith by asking them to choose to believe or not. He's teaching believers what it means to believe and encouraging them to live a life that's consistent with what they believe. No one can serve two lords, he tells them, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the Aramaic word for wealth, for the accumulation or the abundance of material possessions. Jesus personifies it here, as if material things were a god that people serve. And in a very real sense, it is. Mammon is like a lord or a master demanding to be worshipped, honored, and served. What does such service look like? Let's try for a moment to put ourselves in the shoes of Jesus' disciples, if we can. Jesus' hearers were average Jewish citizens at that time. They weren't rich. In fact, we would consider them poor by modern American standards, although poor back then meant something much different than it does today. These people weren't homeless or jobless or beggars, but neither did they have mansions or pensions or health care. There was no welfare, no social safety net. Their jobs were largely dependent on how well the farms produced in a given season or how many fish they could catch on a given day. And many of them were simply day workers who lived off of what they earned each day without much potential for climbing the economic ladder. For such people, to serve mammon was to live their lives with the goal of gaining wealth, acquiring an abundance of things, even basic things like food and drink and clothing. Mammon cried out every day, "You need me. I will provide for you. I will give you safety and security and peace of mind. So seek me. Work to get me. Trust in me." What about for the average modern American? When was the last time you worried about not having enough to eat tomorrow? Or having anything to wear tomorrow? The average American has already acquired more mammon, more abundance of possessions than anyone before in history. And yet, mammon still cries out, "Not enough, not enough. You need more to feel secure. You need more to be happy." And if your level of abundance, if your standard of living should drop even a little bit below what it is right now, it will be the end of the world. "So you still need me," mammon says. "I will provide for you. I will give you safety and security and peace of mind. So seek me. Work for me. Trust in me." To serve mammon is to live one's life with the goal of getting more wealth, acquiring more abundance, and, just as importantly, holding on to the abundance you currently have. Except that if that's your goal, you cannot be a servant of God. No one can serve two lords. You cannot serve God and mammon, because each one demands your devotion. Each one demands your heart. Each one demands your trust, even as each one promises to provide for you and claims to be worthy of your trust. But it's one or the other, Jesus says. You can be devoted to and trust in God, or you can be devoted to and trust in mammon, but you can't serve both. As the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods." But Jesus doesn't stop there with the commandment. He goes on to illustrate the foolishness of serving mammon and the wisdom of serving God. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" If mammon is your God, if you're living your life to gain material things, even basic things like food, drink, and clothing, then your road looks like constant worry. Constantly being anxious over getting those things or keeping those things. Wealth says, "I'll give you peace of mind if you get enough of me." But it's an empty promise, because there is no such thing as enough. You get enough for today, then you worry about tomorrow. You get enough for tomorrow, then you worry about next week, or month, or year, or into retirement years. And what if something happens to your finances? Something can always go wrong. What if it does? You need more to feel safe. You need more to feel secure. "Isn't life more than that?" Jesus asks. "More than running around after your next meal, after your next set of clothes?" And by "more than that," he doesn't mean running around after bigger things either, like the next house, the next car, the next luxury item, the next material thing. Life is more than that, too. The word translated here as "life" is actually the same as the word for soul. Human beings were created with a soul, to live with God forever, to contemplate and to engage in what is good and right and beautiful, and to do good with our body and soul. We've sinned against God and ruined much of His original design, but even in a fallen world, a sinful world, life is still more than food and clothing and acquiring material possessions. It's above all learning to know and to believe in God, who offers a far better path than service to mammon. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? On the road of service to mammon, you're on your own. Everything depends on you. How hard you work, how cunning and clever you are, and yes, how lucky you are too. Even then, so many things are out of your control that you can never have peace of mind. Contentment is forever out of reach. But on the road of service to God, there is a Heavenly Father, the one who created all things and cares for His creation, the one who has adopted you through holy baptism and faith in His beloved Son, who has taken it upon Himself to see to it that you have the things you need for this life without your worrying about it, so that you can spend your time concentrating on more important things like His kingdom and His righteousness, things that last far beyond this life. As proof of this, Jesus offers the example of the way our Heavenly Father provides for the birds of the air, without any worry or care on their part. Not that the birds just sit in their nests and wait for food to be dropped down to them out of the sky. They go and get it from the ground or from the air. But God, our Heavenly Father, sees to it that the food is there for them to get and that they know how to get it. They're His creatures, just as we are, except that, according to Jesus, we are much more valuable than they. Human beings were created in God's image, created to be like Him in true holiness and righteousness, created to live forever with Him in His kingdom. But more than that, Jesus became a man and shed His blood on the cross to redeem us from sin and death and the devil. And we should conclude from that exactly what St. Paul tells us to conclude. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Jesus points out another reason why it's foolish to walk the path of worry in service to mammon. Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 foot to his stature or 1 hour to his life? Worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. But the path of service to God gives us a Heavenly Father who is capable of providing every help for every need. Then, as another proof that the road of serving God is better than the road of serving mammon, Jesus offers the example of the flowers. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today stands and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God cares enough about the soulless vegetation of the earth to make it look beautiful. Learn from that, Jesus says. Learn to understand that He cares much more about you who are His own children and who will see to it that you have what you need to clothe your body, because your bodies last a little while here on earth, but you will be raised from the dead on the last day together with all the dead. And with all believers, you will join Him in His heavenly kingdom, body and soul, if He cares for you enough to spend eternity with you. Will He not provide the clothing that you need here. O you of little faith, Jesus says. He says it not as an angry outburst, but as a gentle rebuke of those who should know better, and yet still sometimes stray over into the path of worry in service to mammon. Knowing that, he gives us this instruction, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, that is, the unbelievers of the world who don't know God, chase after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It is enough for each day to have its own trouble. And isn't that the truth? The path of mammon has you gazing off into the future, trying to figure out how you can provide for yourself somehow all the way down the road. The path of God has you focused only on today and your daily bread, for which we ask every day, because tomorrow doesn't depend on your worry to figure it out. Much less does it depend on your sinning against God in order to get it figured out. You have a heavenly Father who holds yesterday and today and tomorrow in his hand, who is watching out for your tomorrow, just as he is caring for your today. As Christians, you've already put your faith in the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've already committed to serving Him alone. So repent for the times you've strayed over into the path of service to mammon, worrying about tomorrow as if God, your Heavenly Father, didn't exist or didn't care, and recommit to God's service. Trust in Him. Cast all your worry on Him, Peter says, because He cares for you. And then, instead of worrying about your next meal, spend your thoughts and your efforts and your life seeking His kingdom, pursuing His righteousness, because down that road there is true safety and security and peace of mind. There is the loving care of a Heavenly Father. And at the end of that road is eternal life in your Father's heavenly home. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.